The first reading today in the book of the prophet Amos, God comes down hard on people who are just being complacent, sitting back, enjoying life, having no problems, while in fact the faith in Israel was being destroyed. They didn't care. That was the problem. The problem wasn't that they were on their couches. Their problem wasn't what they were eating. The problem was that they were living high off the hog while everything around them was being destroyed. As we watch our own society spiraling downward very quickly, we have to ask ourselves, what about me? Am I bothered by what I see happening? Or do I just want to watch more TV, play more video games, eat more candy, or whatever it is that we want to do? Do we just want to escape the trouble, lie on our couches, and have a nice time? Or are we actually bothered by what we see happening? And by that, I don't just mean sitting around wringing our hands. I mean, are we willing to do something? We need to pray, every last one of us. If there is something specific that you can do, something concrete, by all means do it. But at the very least, and really at the very most, we need to pray. We need to be praying for souls. We're watching as people are being lost by the day, and no one seems to care. And that's a tragedy. So we look at the second reading, and St. Paul talks about what Timothy is supposed to do, and he says that he is supposed to pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness, to compete for the faith, to lay hold of eternal life to which he was called when he made his noble confession in the presence of many witnesses. So again, now that comes back to you and me, and we have to ask the question, have I made that noble confession? On one hand, we can say, well, I was baptized, I've been confirmed, yes. But in the present, have we made that noble confession? Are we standing up and being counted, even in little ways? Do you wear a cross? Do you wear anything? Is there anything that anyone would even recognize that you are Catholic by the way that you carry out your life? Or can no one tell the difference between you and a pagan? Are we giving lip service to Jesus, but our hearts are far from him? Or are we actually standing up and making that noble confession? To stand for the truth in the face of all of the lies that are surrounding us. And again, it doesn't mean standing up on your soapbox and drawing attention to yourself, but it means quietly living the truth, being the light in the midst of the darkness. Are we willing to do that? We may be rejected, and we may be ridiculed. Oh well. If we look at what St. Paul is talking about, what Timothy should be doing, and we ask ourselves, because he talks about Jesus making that noble confession as well, and he said that was done before Pontius Pilate. Jesus could have spared his own life on the natural level if he wanted to, and he didn't. He stood for the truth and he didn't back down, even though it cost him everything. And in costing him everything, we are the ones who have gained everything, and how grateful we need to be. But are we? Are we so grateful that our Lord has started a fire within us and we're burying it underneath a bushel basket? Are we so grateful that we aren't willing to profess him when things get difficult? Or are we really living our faith out in the world? And if we're not, then we have to ask ourselves, what is it actually going to take? What needs to happen for me to be doing that? That's really what it comes down to. There's nothing outside of us that can happen that makes us do that. It's got to come from the inside. Just as we hear in the gospel reading, we hear this rich man pleading with Father Abraham, saying, look, I have five brothers, and send Lazarus to them. I mean, if somebody would just go back to them from the dead, then they would believe. Well, in John's gospel, what happened? A man named Lazarus was brought back from the dead after he was dead for 4 days. Did they believe? Ha! It's almost humorous in the sense that their response was they wanted to kill him. It's like, really? He came back from the dead and they want to kill him. You can't make this stuff up. Of course, I guess you could say the same thing if you watch the news these days. You can't make this stuff up. It's ludicrous what's happening. And yet it goes in one ear and out the other. And so we can't look at it and say, well, if somebody would just come back from the dead, because guess what? Somebody did. He's right in front of us. And how much does it mean? Do we really care? Is this really what's important in our lives? Or is Jesus 1 hour a week or maybe a couple minutes out of the day, but then I want to live my life for me? I want the pleasure, I want the ease, I want the convenience, I want the fun, I want all that the world has to offer. Yeah, then go back and read the first reading. If that's all that we're doing is going through the motions, then we're the ones that are being complacent. As I keep telling you, what the world needs right now is saints. The world needs saints. You and I have the opportunity to be among them. What I have found utterly fascinating over the last 10 or 15 years is there is nobody. We had some people like a Mother Teresa of Calcutta, or like Pope John Paul. There have been some great individuals raised up in our own day. Who do we have? Who can anybody look to today to be able to say, there is a saint right there that we can all follow? I don't know, maybe you know one. I haven't seen one. That doesn't mean that there aren't some good and holy people around. There certainly are. But I haven't seen anybody that's really rising to that level of holiness. So that's something, again, that you and I can think about. Is God calling you to that? Is he asking you to become that saint that the world needs right now? Because it's a necessity. We can't just sit back and be complacent while we're watching the church and the world self-destruct. The church, as we know, has been infiltrated by her enemies up to her eyeballs and beyond, and they are doing a fine job destroying it. The church, or the world, yeah, it's been handed over to the devil, so he's doing a heck of a job by himself. So what are we doing in response? Ken, it's not that you have to go out and do anything extraordinary. It means to bring Jesus into the world. You and I can't save the world, but he can. But the world doesn't know him. And the world doesn't know him because if somebody would just rise from the dead, then they would believe. No, they wouldn't. because they've rejected him. So how are they going to accept him? Only when they see the example of someone who truly believes in the Lord living it. That's what it has to be. And you and I can do that. When you go to work, be a Catholic. When you go to the store, be a Catholic. When you go to the ball game, be a Catholic. When you're with your friends, be a Catholic. Whatever it is that you're doing, your faith should be at the center of that. Bring Jesus with you. And if it's some place where you look at it and say, I don't think Jesus would want to be there, then you shouldn't be either. It's really that simple. But let's be counted. Let's stand up and make that confession, a noble confession, not just in private where we're saying, I believe, out in public where we are putting our belief into practice. That's going to look different for each one of us. And that's fine. But we all have to ask ourselves, am I willing to do that? Again, in little ways, can you wear a cross? Can you wear something that people can see that you believe in the Lord? Can you work on cleaning up the language and speaking only the good things people need to hear, as St. Paul tells us? Can you work on living the faith more profoundly? Can you work on deepening your prayer life? Can you work on being more virtuous with the people around you so that you're being that good example? Because that's what people need. You have to be, as St. Francis told us, the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus today. You're the one who's bringing him into the world. And the world needs him desperately. So you have what the world needs if you are willing to do that. But that's the question each and every one of us is going to have to ask. How much does this mean to me? How serious am I about this? I was faced with that a number of years ago. I was out on the East Coast back, must have been around 2002 somewhere, because I went to the airport, dressed as I usually am in my cassock, and the man at the airport looked at me as he's going through all the stuff, and he said, you must not have abused any children. I said, no, I have not. Why would you say that? He said, because of the way you're dressed. I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, the priests out here won't wear their clerics anymore because if they walk out of their rectory dressed like a priest, people spit at them and call them names. So they can spit at me all that they want. They can call me all the names they want. I said, I paid a price to be able to wear this cassock and I'm not taking it off. We have to stand up. We need to be counted. I go to the grocery store dressed like this. It doesn't matter. People stare at me. People make comments. They do all kinds of awful things sometimes. I don't care. I've obviously pricked their conscience a little bit. It's just even that. I don't have to say a word. I just have to walk out being dressed like a priest. The other side is work too. I walked to the store one day. This was back a number of years ago. As I was walking along, somebody came out of their house and said, are you a Catholic priest? I said, yes, I am. He said, could I go to confession? They wouldn't have been able to do that if they didn't know that I was a priest. So again, without saying a word, just that witness. Now that's easier for me because of the clothes that I wear. But your task is to be a witness by the way you live. By the way you speak, by the way you act, by the way you treat people, all those things, people will recognize there's something different about you. Because you're a person of prayer, because you're a person of virtue, because you have a holiness about you that most people don't have. Now you might ask yourself, do I have that? If the answer is no, then we better get going. We've got an adoration chapel. The Lord is there 24 hours a day. Spend some time with Him. Even at home, in your car, you can pray the rosary. You can do things like that as you're doing other things. And start letting that holiness develop within you. Start growing in that relationship with Jesus so that you can make that confession just by being who God has called you to be. Then if somebody asks you, as St. Peter said, be prepared to give an answer. Don't be embarrassed of Jesus, because He told us that if we're embarrassed of Him, He's going to be embarrassed of us. If we deny Him before men, He will deny us before the angels of God. Not a happy idea. If you truly believe in Jesus, now we have an opportunity to stand up and be counted. Make the noble profession of faith by the way that you live your life. Someone has come back from the dead. And in so doing, He has saved your immortal soul. How much does that really mean to you? How much does He really mean to you? That's the question we have to ask. And if we can answer it the way that we should, then we make that noble confession of faith before many witnesses, and we will do it every day. Because we will be the light in the darkness. We will bring Jesus Christ into the world by being the saints that He is asking us to be.